Hey, everybody, this is episode 510 of the Official Game Stitch Podcast. I'm your host, producer Gerald, and today, as always, I'm joined by Ryan Walton.
Greetings.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's mid-October.
I know. It's
mid to late, I guess.
I thought we were going to go to a cold freeze here, and it started getting cold, and now the last couple of days have been pretty nice outside.
Now, the older generation keeps telling me this will be the worst winter in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like unanimously, I keep hearing that we're doomed.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because we got down in the 30s and we're going back to the 80s.
Yeah.
Heading back.
Which is crazy.
I think today's like 82, 83.
I know, I got pulled out my heavy coats and all this to get ready for all, but just look like I need it.
Mm-hmm. Now, This could be me misremembering my youth, but I remember there being always a crisp, like, just a, not like freezing, but that cold that where you like kind of feel it around Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember like going in the costumes being cold. I remember some years having to wear like a jacket over the costume.
Yeah.
Ruining the whole look.
I remember in the 90s, it snowed on Halloween. But I don't think if I remember, I snowed, like it was on the grass, but it wasn't on like the sidewalks and road.
Yeah, that's weird. That's a weird vibe for Halloween snow. But yeah, I always remember it being cold.
Mm-hmm.
Not like freezing, but I remember it being cold. And I mean, who knows, this year it may be like 85, 86.
Yeah, I remember wearing the little plastic mask that had like the little string going around the back of it and just freezing, but wearing that thing.
I remember I went as Scream one year. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I think I had thermals underneath.
Oof.
Yeah, because it was cold. You remember the mask that had like the clear layer over the top so it would like bleed?
Yeah, yeah.
Always wanted one of those. Never got one.
You could always get one.
I could.
Just to have it. But then just add your stuff of you don't need that you have.
Correct. And also,
I never use it.
I don't go to Halloween parties. I'm too old just to dress up for me, and I'm not like a cosplay kind of guy. So, it would be just a weird thing for me to have.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I'm not as entertained by them as an adult, but as a kid, I thought those things were awesome.
Yeah.
One year, I just went as whatever, generic monster, zombie, whatever it was. But my dad actually did like makeup on me.
Mm-hmm.
Like where you could buy the fake wounds and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And I looked awesome. That was one of my favorites. I was never like a big into trick-or-treating though. I grew up in the country and you have to like get in the car and go like address to address. It would take a long time. And then by the time I lived in like a town or a city, I was a little old. I got out of trick-or-treating. I was early to get out of the game.
Oh man, I'm sorry. So,
yeah. I don't have a lot of nostalgia for trick-or-treating, but I do remember it being crisp and cool in the air.
Yeah, see, where I lived in the military installations in Germany, we lived in a neighborhood. Then when I got here, lived on Fort Campbell. So I always got to trick-or-treat on Fort Campbell to different neighborhoods. Then when we moved off base, I lived right off of, people are not going to know, but off of Tiny Town Road, Pembroke Place. That was a big neighborhood. So you got to go trick-or-treating there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I graduated high school, and after that, it was okay. I'm done. I mean, I trick-or-treated all the way through high school. But the last 2 years, I just basically just walked around with my brother because he's younger. And just let him do the trick-or-treating. Me and my friends just dressed up because we were just too big.
Did you have a sack, though?
I would hold his candy.
Okay. But you weren't getting your own candy.
No, I was getting mine. I'll hold his because there was a lot of bag snatchers.
Yeah.
And so we went around with my friends just to stop the bag snatchers.
There is a cutoff, right? Like if you show up with, so if you're like, you're talking about your high school, you're 17 years old,
mm-hmm.
There's a cutoff. Now people will still give you candy if you're there with somebody and you hold a bag out, but there is a cutoff, like an unspoken cutoff where you're just too old to do it anymore.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you crossed that line.
Yeah. My sophomore year was my last year. My junior year, I said, that's when I stopped because I was hanging out with my friend and he was 6'6". And so there's like,
Yeah, you're like a grown-ass man going to a door.
Yeah, and I had facial hair.
Yeah, like trick-or-treat.
Yep, so I just stood on the sidewalk as my brother would go, his friends would go up and down.
Now, I think, I could be wrong, but I bet I was like 11, 10, 11 the last time I went.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. Yeah, I cut off early. It was my choice. My parents didn't tell me to quit. I was out of the game. You know, I lost the love for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a spooky kind of guy. And if I wanted candy, you know, 90% of the candy I wasn't into. So if I wanted like a Reese's, you know, my parents probably just would have got me one.
Yeah.
Or Snickers or something like that. The best setup is like when you live somewhere that doesn't get trick-or-treaters and then your family buys the candy, but you know that you're going to get to eat that candy.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody coming by. That's just going to be your candy.
See, we used to hate it when my mom and dad, we would go trick-or-treat and they would just pick through our candy and take the good stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's a power move. That's why you have kids.
Yeah.
So I don't hate that move. Now, my dad turned Halloween into a social experiment and would just put a bowl out front that says take like two pieces of candy and then he would just watch to see how much candy kids would take.
Oh, so I bet you some would take just one. Some people would just take handfuls.
Most people would adhere to the sign. Like most people, if it said take two pieces, would take two pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they had a parent would enforce that. But I don't, you know, there was never a situation where someone like grabbed the bowl and emptied it out or anything like that.
So when you're here and where I live now, me and wife decided to do trick or treating. So we just sat on the front porch, had some chairs. Her grandma was still alive and she would just sit at the door and like just watch as the kids come by. She liked watching the costumes and we had like a little bowl and across the street, some guy had set up where he had the bowl. He just left it out there and we literally saw a little kid in a Ninja Turtle outfit, grab the bowl and just dump it in his bag.
Was it Raphael?
I don't remember which one it was. I just remember it was a Ninja Turtle.
It was for sure. A kid repping Donatello would never do that kind of thing. That was always the fear. You put that whole bowl out there that some douchebag kid would take the whole bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But I think almost all Halloweens that he did that way, there was always still candy left at the bowl at the end of the night.
Yeah.
And my dad was, he would get good candy. We weren't putting bullshit out there. We weren't putting Smarties out there and Pixie Sticks. Like, we're putting the good shit.
So last year I went to Louisville with my friends and my brother was there. So they would sit on the opposite. I sat right in front of the bowl really close and I had like a little mask on that looked like a skeleton.
Oh, you scare people?
Yeah. And I had like the little like light up on it. And so I would just sit there with the little cloak. And as I got close, I would like jump at them. And my brother and my friend, they just sat regular close. So they looked like, oh, they're just sitting there talking. And that guy's just part of the little thing. Cause I'd put my hands on the bowl, just holding it.
Yeah.
As they would come up and I would jump and scare them.
That's how you get shitty pants.
Yeah. But most kids would only get like one candy. We're like, no, take a bunch. Cause he bought like 8 or 9 bags of candy. Yeah. He was like, come take this.
Now, one thing I think is odd because you've lived here pretty much your whole life is that you say Louisville.
Yeah.
So Louisville.
Yeah, Louisville.
That's weird. It's not weird. Lots of people say it that way. It's weird that you say it that way when you're like you've lived here your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. It's a choice you make.
It's also, I think that's how I keep on the people I hung out with. That's what they called it.
Yeah. We probably talked about this before.
Yeah.
It's jarring every time you say it.
Louisville. What do you say? Louisville. Louisville.
Louisville. Louisville. Yeah. Louisville.
Louisville.
So Louisville feels wrong to you.
Yeah.
That feels dirty.
Yeah. Like you're talking nasty.
Yeah. Well, that's what I like. That's how I like all my words to be. Now, do you think that we started talking about Halloween too early? Because there's a whole ass show before then.
No, I think it's good.
Okay. I didn't mean it. I didn't plan to talk about Halloween. Now, as an adult, I'll tell you the thing that most entices me that I still don't participate is the pumpkin carving.
I've never done the pumpkin carving thing.
I'm into it. I don't understand my abilities, though. So I like to think I'm capable of so much more than I actually am.
Oh, when I see them people stencil out like the cool backgrounds and all this other stuff, it's like, oh my God, that is amazing.
I would call my last few, and I haven't done one in years, but the last couple I did, I would call them a success, but not to the level. I mean, I'm expecting, you know, perfection out of these pumpkin carvings, which is weird because I don't know what I'm doing. I used a Dremel last time. I got serious with it.
Oh, shit.
The move is not to cut a hole, but to remove meat off of the pumpkin so that you get different shades of light coming through.
Right.
But yeah, good pumpkin. So when my parents got divorced when I was younger, I lived with my grandparents, my dad and my grandparents. And where they live, which is only like an hour from where I am now, but where they live, there's a guy who would always carve like 100 pumpkins every year. And they're all like the stuff you see on TV. Like, they're amazing. But it was not for anything. Like, he would just carve them and have them all through his yard, and he would just do candy. But that was like a place everyone always went there to see the pumpkins.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know when he would start, and I don't know how. I've carved a pumpkin. They last for a while, but when they turn, they turn. So I don't know. Like, there's, you can't start too early with that situation.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Now, neighborhood-wise, did you ever grow, like, in your neighborhood when you did live in one, did you have the pumpkin smashers?
No, not really. I don't know that, I mean, we might have had, like, one or two pumpkins. My mom didn't do Halloween at all, and my dad would do, like, the bare minimum. We weren't putting decorations out or anything.
Yeah, we didn't put decorations out either, but we would see, like, you get on the bus the next day or a couple of days, and now all of a sudden you just see pumpkins in the middle of the road, and some kids run around just smashing pumpkins.
None of that. No toilet paper. I've never seen a house toilet papered.
I've seen several.
I don't just mean like I've never seen someone do it. Like, I've never driven by a house that's been toilet papered. I've never seen it in my whole life.
Oh, I've seen it. It's not as easy as people think to do it either.
Yeah.
I'm not admitting to anything. I plead the fifth.
But I wasn't a delinquent, so I've never done it. But I've never even seen. I've never driven by a house that got. Now, I'll tell you what did happen one time. Is I was at a friend's house. I stayed the night. When I came out the next morning, someone had used one of those paint markers.
Mm-hmm.
Like the paint pens, the fat ones you can write on cars. They had drawn a penis on the back of my car.
Oh, no.
But I can only assume that was a... I still don't know who did it, but I can only assume it was a friend.
Did it wash right off?
Yeah. It was legit like the window paint.
Okay.
And they did it on the back window. It was just a big veiny triumphant bastard on the back.
Because I know somebody who put a penis on the hood of a white car using mustard, and it stained it.
Oh, yeah, that's no good.
But they did it maliciously.
That's bad.
I know both parties.
Do they know who did it?
No.
They don't know the mustard bandit?
Nope.
I don't like pranks that that lead to damage.
Yeah.
I don't like property damage.
No, me neither. I like funny pranks that will make people laugh.
Me too.
Not that it would cause damage or cause injury or cause someone to get upset. I want them to be able to laugh at it.
Right. You know, I was young, but mine was silly. I mean, I took a hose and a washcloth. It came right off. But I did drive home that way. I just had to get it off before my dad was like, what the hell? But yeah, Halloween should be it's not even safe anymore, I guess, right? You can't even take your kids trick or treating. Everybody has to like do it at a mall or something.
Yeah.
Because I was like razor blades and anthrax or whatever people do. I don't know.
Yeah,
razor blades and apples were a thing when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
They always tell you to look out for, be careful.
Don't ever eat open candy because they might have drugs in them. Or nowadays, I mean, people are dipping the drug, the candy in drugs. What is it? Fentanyl.
Fentanyl. It's a wild, wild time.
Yeah, it's like, who would do that? Why would you want to do that?
I was a sucker for, you remember when you get like one of those popcorn balls? You ever seen those?
Yeah, I've seen the popcorn balls, but I never got one.
There's something in a popcorn ball is what it is. It's not great. If you ever had one, you're like, eh. There's something so enticing about the size of it, though, that when you would go to a house, it would give you a popcorn ball or something big like that. You'd be like, man, what a score.
Right.
There's also the opposite is when you go to a house and they give you one roll of Smarties. that seemed the more disrespectful. Yeah, those big ass popcorn balls. They're individually wrapped.
Yeah, see, I never got those.
And this is not an endorsement of the popcorn ball. There's just something about the girthiness of it that when they would drop it in the bag, you would really feel like you accomplished something. Like that was a house that they got it.
I'm sure we've talked on other episodes. You remember when people would give you like full size candy bars instead of the mini ones?
Yeah, that was legit too.
Yeah.
The other power move is when someone had made the pre-made bags that already had multiple pieces of candy in there.
Oh yeah.
And maybe like one of the plastic rings with a spider on it, you know, those kind of things. That was good too when you would land on one of those houses. You know, where you're getting a toy. It's like a Happy Meal.
Yeah. Yeah, and it had like the little cool designs on them.
Yep. The skull. The spider. Now, were you a bucket or were you like a Walmart bag? Were you, what? That's my work phone going off. I don't even know where that's at.
Uh-oh. I heard that. I was a bucket for most of it. And if I couldn't find the bucket, I had like a Halloween bag. They had like a design on it.
Yeah. No, like one of those plastic buckets, like Ghostface or Pumpkin.
Yeah. My friend, Frank, he used to use a Halloween lunchbox. So he would open the lunchbox up, you would close it, and he would just close the lunchbox. I think it was a Ghostbusters lunchbox, too. Like I had Slimer. I remember Slimer being on the front of it. Which I thought was pretty neat.
Yeah, that is neat. Hold on a second. You can keep talking, but I've got to answer this.
Did I remember pillowcases? People use pillowcases.
Yeah, there's a lot of pillowcases growing up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this little Halloween bag, I'm looking at it, has like the little Halloween teeth in it.
Yeah. So I never had one that was like folded over and stapled like a GameStop accessory, but they would twist them up and put like a bread tie on them.
Yeah, those were always cool.
Yeah.
I know we've talked about like our favorite outfits back in when Dan was on, like what you like to do. Cause you know, Dan was a big Halloween guy. He loved Halloween.
Yeah. Still does.
Yeah. Like dressing up and.
He dresses up like a small child, Dan. I hope you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dan actually makes really good like he cosplays.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's fair to say that he dresses up.
Yeah, he goes all out. I still remember that time he made that damn chainsaw.
Yeah.
Out of foam. That was amazing.
Yeah, his Evil Dead costume was good.
Oh my God, someone put little Cheeto balls in this little Halloween bag. Called Pumpkin Poop, Eat If You Dare. Yeah, but Halloween is a week away, so we'll have another episode right before then. I'm sure we'll talk more Halloween stuff.
Yeah, it was not my intentions to speak on Halloween today, but it just sometimes it happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's organic.
Right.
You know, before we leave, and I know we've talked about this before because we've been doing this for like 10 years. There's no way we haven't gone deep into Halloween, but the like saltwater taffy that doesn't even have a brand. It's just in the clear, not the clear, but like the parchment paper style.
Yes.
That's bullshit.
Mm-hmm. speaking to Dan, Dan tweeted at us saying, trust me, Reamer's rants are still very much a thing.
So he does listen. So he's going to hear me say that he dresses up like a small child.
Yes, he does.
Good. I expect a rant over that.
And then Garrett tweeted at us saying I will probably get the PSVR2 in time.
Now, me and friend of the show, Patman, last night, we were on I've gone so deep down this VR rabbit hole that I want to spare everybody. But I'm growing more and more concerned about the price point of where PS2 VR will land. And let me tell you what I'm thinking. And you can let me know if I'm overreacting.
Okay.
Oculus. Let's pull up the cheapest Quest 2 you can find. I think it's like $400, $500 now or something. MetaQuest. Also, shout out to last week's podcast. MetaQuest World Peace is a great name.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. I thought it was cool.
It's one of my favorites. What is that, $400?
$400 for a MetaQuest 2.
Is that from a reputable?
Walmart.
Okay.
GameStop.
So $400. So it's $400. It used to be $300. They upped it by $100. So it's $400. I think the next size up. What size is that? Can you see? What does it say? How many GBs it's got?
The 128 is $399. The 256 gigabyte is $499.
Okay. So $400 and $500. The MetaQuest Pro is $1,500. So we have a bottom of $400 and we have a top of $1,500. So that's the range I think that they play in automatically, because if you believe what you see, then they're saying it will be better than the MetaQuest 2 as far as quality goes.
Mm-hmm.
So hard to believe it's going to be cheaper than either one of, you know, than the bottom. Obviously, it won't be as expensive as the ceiling. And I know that there are people right now probably screaming, like lots of people make VR headsets that aren't Facebook. But I want to be clear that Meta is Sony's competition when it comes to VR.
Yeah.
That's their competition. It's not Valve. It's not, you know, it's not HTC. It's not Samsung. It is Oculus/Meta. So if you take those two things into account, the ceiling, the floor, and then here's the real telltale sign, I think. This Pro controller that's coming out. The Edge, right? The DualSense Edge.
Mm-hmm.
It's $200.
Whew.
That's like your own sketchy.
Yeah, it's weird that they already got a price on for it.
It's also in euros, so it for sure can't be trusted. So the DualSense Edge is $200. So if they want $200 for a controller, which I think is high, it's higher than the Elite controller was, or is. I think the Elite controller is $180.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take into account that that's higher than expected, that the floor is $400 and the ceiling is $1,500, I think realistically this thing is probably could see that $600 mark.
Yeah, minimum.
And you still have a cord. And then you have the prerequisite of having to have a PS5. So let's take you, for example. You haven't got your PS5 yet.
No.
You do want PSVR too.
Yes.
But that entry for you is going to cost you $1,000 minimum.
Mm-hmm.
In order to get your PS5 and then get your headset. And so now, if you're Sony, that still leaves you a little wiggle room, right? You could bump that up a little bit or get it closer to that $1,500 mark that Oculus is charging for their high end, because you're also giving them a PS5, so you're giving them more value.
Right.
So it just worries me that Sony, the world may have paved a road for Sony to overcharge for this thing. Now, what would be the most badass is this thing comes out at $299 and, you know, they're saying they're going to have 2 million units ready at launch. If they have 2 million units ready at launch and it's $299, I think this thing is a hit.
Mm-hmm.
But I am worried that they will get this wrong.
And they're going to overprice it?
Yeah, I think so. I think that the price has adjusted since the MetaQuest Pro was announced. I bet they've adjusted the price. Now let's go back to the DualSense Edge, because we haven't talked about this. My plan is to get this.
Actually, when I'm looking at it, it doesn't look like it's like you're not really spending $200 on just a controller. You're getting a lot of stuff. So it's correct. Really not that it's not a $200 controller. It's you're buying an accessory pack plus a case for $200.
So let's walk everybody through it. You're getting a controller, which allows you to. Now, this is the part that entices me. I drop my controller a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's unacceptable. I know. You can switch out the thumbstick modules. So not just the sticks. You can change the sticks as well. You can actually change the entire module.
Yeah.
So like if you get stick drift, you can actually slide out the whole entire thing and slide a new one in.
Mm-hmm.
Your triggers allow you to adjust. So you have the different throws that you can adjust. you can adjust on the fly, which I like. So showing you the different stick caps that you can do, and it actually comes with different stick caps. But see, here's the stick module sliding out.
Yeah.
Which is super awesome. And then the back, and this is the most enticing part for me. It's got the back buttons that you can put in. There's different options there, but you can adjust them. And for something you're going to see in this video, they'll show you Rocket League. And the reason this makes so much sense is this air roll right and air roll left, which is what they're showing you right there. It needs to be on buttons like that. The stop zones and the pull areas for the triggers, the dead zones and the sensitivity for the sticks. I mean, this thing does a lot. It also comes with a braided cord that allows you to play wired, but it also locks into the controller so it can't accidentally be pulled out during gameplay. Oh, see, it's got this little safety cage here. Snaps in. That's really cool. And it comes in a nice little carrying case, which it should for that price. But you're right. You're not simply paying $200 for a controller. It is an experience that I would say is mostly designed for people playing shooters, but I like this thing. I do too.
It looks nice.
I'm planning on getting it.
I think when I get my PlayStation 5, I'll be getting this too.
Yeah. It's nice. Pre-orders open up soon. See if that article tells you. I think it's like any day now. You can start pre-ordering the 25th, maybe
October 25th. Yep.
Yeah. So, Tuesday pre-orders start.
It's weird. They're going to wait until January to release it and they don't release it for Christmas.
It is weird. It's also weird that you can pre-order it October.
Mm-hmm.
You can pre-order it 2 months before it comes out. Like they're expecting a lot out of this. And I don't know I don't think this thing will do very well.
Well, they said they're supposed to have a whole bunch of PlayStation 5s for Christmas.
They're saying that they plan to ship 30 million next year. That's an insane number.
Yeah. I went to the mall the other day and I saw like two people walking out of GameStop with PlayStation 5s.
I have been to Best Buy now twice with PS5s on the shelf. Not on the shelf, but like up front. You can go up there and get one.
Mm-hmm.
Two separate times. The Horizon bundle.
Now,
I think I texted you one of those times.
Yeah. Now with the PSVR 2, if it's a decent price range, let's say $600.
Yeah.
Are you day one? Or are you going to wait until like they come out with a some games like the Horizon bundle or?
So here's the deal.
Some kind of bundle.
I was an early adopter day one of the PlayStation VR, the first one. Mm-hmm. I got burned because it didn't have the HDR pass through. The headset that eventually came out, the last iteration of the PSVR, is a better headset than what I have, in my opinion, which is always the risk with new hardware.
Mm-hmm.
The weird place I find myself in is exactly what you just talked about, the hardware. Or the software. I'm actively playing Oculus or Quest 2. I played a ton of PSVR before finally retiring that. A lot of what I think will be out there are, you know, they've already said that it's not backwards compatible, but these developers will be tweaking their games and putting them over on PSVR 2. I think a lot of what's released early on will be remakes and up-reses or remasters or whatever you want to call them. They're compatible with this PSVR 2.
Mm-hmm.
The things that won't, the new arrivals will be things I've already played on Quest. So I don't know how much software-wise they can roll out to entice me. The real thing that interests me here is right, the idea that you get one. Friend of the show, Marshall 205 gets one. Friend of the show, Patman gets one. You know, maybe Gary gets one. Maybe Matt gets one. He's pukey in VR, so probably not. But, you know, the idea that I have people to play with.
Right.
We're going to get in there and play something like Firewall, and we're going to have a good time. That entices me more. Now, Call of the Mountain, the Horizon Call of the Mountain, should be a launch game. It's the PlayStation VR 2 tie-in for Horizon. I have no doubt that game will be good. I have no doubt that it'll show off the tech well, but is it a system seller? I don't know. You know, Sony's putting a lot of stock in Horizon. You know, there's they're remastering the first game, which has got everybody in their feels. The second one's not far off. They have the Call of the Mountain. They're working on a TV show at Netflix. There's a lot happening with Horizon, and I don't know how big that franchise really is. I don't know if it can support something like a PlayStation VR. But yeah, the interest of playing with friends is what kind of is the only hold that PlayStation VR has on me. And I'll be honest, I think I would probably rather just play Quest with everybody, but not everybody is going to get a Quest, and everybody seems interested in having a PlayStation VR. Game looks awesome.
It does.
We're watching Call of the Mountain trailer. So it's going to be tough because a lot of, you know, Moss 2 is a game, right? Moss 1 and 2, they'll be up-resed and made available on PlayStation VR 2. Like, I'm playing Moss Book 2 right now, and I played the first one on PlayStation VR, so, like, I'm not going to go back and play those. Iron Man VR is something I bought on PlayStation, never played it, and now it's coming out on Quest, and I'm like, I'll probably just play it on Quest. Even though I have it on PlayStation, I want to go through the trouble of setting up my old camera and getting my PlayStation VR out. It just seems like such a pain. I don't know. It won't be the games that bring me back. It'll be the idea that I can play with my friends.
Yeah.
Now for you, are you an early adopter, assuming you have a PS5 at that point?
Nah, I might wait until they do like a bundle.
Yeah.
Because I got the original with the Skyrim bundle. At the time, there was only that bundle out. I wish I would have got the Iron Man bundle instead of the Skyrim, but the Iron Man one didn't come out until way after the Skyrim one did.
Yeah. I got the one that came with the PlayStation VR World. For those that haven't been listening for a long time, my dad won a PSVR through Taco Bell. And it was a PlayStation VR Worlds bundle, and I actually got it like a week before it came out.
Which is crazy. That back then we were going to Taco Bell like quite often.
Correct.
Trying to get that bundle.
Yeah, I tried like crazy to get that. And my dad like randomly stopped one night on the way home from work, went home, entered it, and is like, congratulations. And he's like, oh, you want this? I don't know. I don't even have a PS4.
When you texted me when you did that. He's like, hey, my dad went. I was like, damn it.
Yeah, wild.
And I think we went to Taco Bell that morning, that afternoon for lunch.
Probably. Yeah, so Iron Man VR is something I want to play. Studio behind that just purchased by Meta, which is why it'll now be available. So here's the thing that makes me feel comfortable, though, about VR for the future. So this company, who makes this? Is it Camouflage? Is that who makes this?
Yeah, I think that's when we looked up yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, Camouflage.
Okay. So Camouflage makes this, right? Oculus or Meta buys Camouflage. Sony then agrees to allow them to put Iron Man on Quest.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, these two companies have to play nice for VR to work. Because they also need the companies that Meta is buying, which also concerns me about Sony, right? Sony's not buying up just strictly VR studios, and that's scary to me. Because, you know, I have no doubt that Guerrilla can make a good VR game. It's not what Guerrilla does. There's something to be said for these teams who just make VR games. So I would like to see Sony scoop up some of those studios. But anyways, you know, if they're playing nice on Iron Man, it tells me that Oculus or Meta is probably playing nice with Sony on different titles too. Because exclusives are the worst thing you can have right now for VR. There should be no exclusives.
Right.
I want those walls to completely come down, and just the idea be between Sony and Meta is that people are in VR.
Especially when you're trying to get more people to play VR. You want the VR, like every game to be pushed out no matter where you're going to play VR.
Correct. I would love to see Sony announce that PlayStation VR 2 is crossplay with MetaQuest.
That'd be cool.
I think that would be huge.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those games we played early on, they were fun, but there's no player base.
Yeah.
And so I would love to see that. I would love to see Firewall come to Quest, and I would love to see, you know, what's that game called? Their shooter. We've talked about it before. Just type in Quest, MetaQuest shooter. It's got a...
Cannot type today.
I don't know why I can't remember. It's like one, something one.
Population One.
Population One. That's like one of their big shooter battle royale deals. Mm-hmm. That should be on PlayStation VR. You know, that money should be spread around. And some of it will, you know, Meta owns Beat Saber, Beat Studios, and, you know, it's still everywhere. It's a bunch of first-person shooters for the Quest.
Mm-hmm.
What's this top 25? Is it just shooters? Top 25 Oculus
games.
That's old a little bit, probably.
Yeah, 2021.
Yeah, type in top 20, like, just do whatever. Top 10 Meta Quest games. Let's see what people think. Let me see if I agree. I haven't played Population One, and it'll most certainly be on the list, so. Let's see if we can find a new one.
So July 4th.
I'll take it. That'll work.
Here's October 4th.
Oh, hell yeah.
Tom's God.
Tom. My boy Tom. This is not an endorsement of Tom's God. I've never seen that site till right now.
I know a lot of people use it.
So it's probably fine. I don't spend a lot of time. Half-Life Alyx is on... you have to be wired to play that. You have to have the link cable, so...
Population One.
Population One.
Super Hot.
Super Hot VR is excellent.
Come on.
Tom's Guide is load like shit. That's Saints and Sinners.
Beat Saber.
Yep, excellent. Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners. I haven't played it. I've heard nothing but good things.
Yeah, that it looks good. Like the graphics on it looks amazing. The Climb.
The Climb is excellent.
Onward. Rainbow Six type game.
Yeah, I've never played it. Don't know.
Until You Fall.
Never played it.
Resident Evil 4.
Nothing but good things said about that. So that's the one of the other studios that Meta bought.
And then Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Haven't played it in VR. That's another. So a lot of these are games that require you to have the link cable. So you have to have a computer that can run them.
Skyrim.
Skyrim, that thing won't go away.
That was it. So he gave us 11.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably a fine list. I think that list is all right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of those are not games like I want to play. Obviously, I play weird shit. That's kind of my thing. But yeah, that's not a bad list. I think it's a fair list.
So this one, Zenith.
Don't know what that is.
Blade and Sorcery.
Yep.
I Expect You to Die, The Spy and a Liar.
That's a I Expect You to Die 2. I didn't know they made a second one.
Mm-hmm. Vader Immortal.
Like, that was excellent.
Walkabout Mini Golf.
People love that too.
You haven't played it's golf. I figured you'd play that one.
You have to buy it, and I haven't been able to convince friend of the show, Marshall 205, to buy it.
I've got you.
I think it has to have company.
Ghost Giant.
Very good.
Yeah, you played that one. Moss. It's good.
Probably the best VR game out there.
Gorn.
Yeah, people like it.
Song in the Smoke.
I have it, but I haven't played it yet. I bought it.
Until You Fall.
That one's on the list, too. I need to check that one out.
The Room VR, A Dark Matter.
People like that.
There's Population One. This one's got them at 14.
Yeah, still, though.
Echo VR.
Not bad. Mm-hmm.
A Fisherman's Tale.
Game's excellent.
Yep. You played that one. 11 Table Tennis.
Yeah.
Ultra Wings 2.
Haven't played with that.
A Township Tale.
This list to me is sketchy because they have Township Tale above Beat Saber, and Township Tale I found to be not a great experience. The idea is excellent, but
where's Beat Saber here?
Oh, we're going down.
Yeah, we're going down.
Okay.
So that's number 9. Here's number 8.
Still too high for Township Tale, but at least Beat Saber, I don't know how it's not 1 or 2.
No, Onward. Onward's way ahead of Population 1.
I feel like we should play Onward. I need to look at it.
Pistol Whip
is super good.
Resident Evil 4.
Pistol Whip's not better than Beat Saber, though.
Unplugged.
I don't even know what Unplugged is.
Are
you going to be my girl? That's what it says.
Looks like there's a bunch of little dots you got to press to...
A music game?
Yeah. Demio?
Don't know what that is either.
The tabletop game isn't a perfect tip, but it's really good in VR, it says. Super Hot VR, number 2.
This list is from Upload.
And then number 1 is The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners.
I think the other list was better. This one obviously has more games on it, but I think the other list was... So I guess my concern is, right, you just pulled up two people's lists and there's a lot of crossover. So like, is PlayStation going to launch and have all these games that are going to bring people over? No, they're going to have those games.
Yeah.
Retooled for the PlayStation 2, VR 2.
And I'm sure they'll have like the missions, like, oh, there's a Call of Duty mission or there's a Ace Combat mission.
Yeah.
There'll be some missions from some games like they did before. There'll be like one level that is designed for VR. So, dude, when you play your Oculus, are you wired or no?
No. I don't have a computer that's good enough to
run it.
To facilitate, yeah, using the link cable or the wireless version of that. So,
because, see, I thought about asking for a VR, an Oculus for Christmas this year, but because now Oculus 2 or MetaQuest thing is coming out, I don't know if I should wait or not get it.
Would you, if you bought the, if you got the Quest, would you still buy the PlayStation VR?
Yeah.
Then I think it's okay to get one.
Yeah, I would still get it.
You would love the Quest. Because you like to play games while also just other things are happening in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And you could literally be sitting in a chair and throw on your Quest.
Right.
You don't even have to move from where you are. Think of all the places you can play your Switch. That's all the places you can play VR. Like, you just put it in the Guardian mode to where you're sitting down and it just draws a circle around you and you're good to go.
Right.
I open my case. I keep mine in a case, right? So I open my case. In 3 minutes, I can be playing a game. Damn. That's headset on, controllers in hand, playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like that quick. I put it on. I hit one button. I usually don't have to confirm my Guardian because I haven't moved. You know, I either play standing in one place or sitting in one place. I click on the game. It loads pretty well instantly, usually. And I am in the game. Like Moss, you just click a Moss button and it's like it shows you the splash screen and then you're right back where your last save file was. There's not even a menu. Once you start a game. So it's incredibly fast. That convenience is what PlayStation VR was missing for me.
Mm-hmm.
I had to get mine out of the case. I had to unfurl the stack of cables and I had to get the breakout box and I had to plug it in. And then I had to switch my HDMI cords out because I didn't have the HDR pass through. And then I had to get situated and I 3D printed a clip because those cables would get hung up on the back of my chair and I'd almost rip my fucking headset off. And so I had to put my clip on to keep my cords away from my chair.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, we're probably talking about 7 minutes different in setup time. So it's nothing crazy.
Yeah. See, I have mine. We have I played mine in the living room and we have hardwood floors. We have a rug in the middle. So I had to run the cables under the rug. Up through the side of the couch, comes up from the back of the couch. So I can get up. I had enough room to get up and stand up if I needed to. Because I mainly played sitting down. But that, to make sure I didn't trip over any wires in it, because the PlayStation was right in front of me.
Yeah.
And so when I stepped on the carpet, I can kind of feel the cables underneath the carpet.
Yeah. It just wasn't, to me, that the setup made that seem like a chore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, would you let me borrow a bunch of those VR games? I just pretty much had it all set up and just left it there and just went from one game to the next game.
Because at that point, we were like almost exclusively just playing VR.
Yeah.
And see, I feel like it's easier if you were to shoot me a text one night and say, hey, do you want to play VR? And it's getting close to the time I usually play PlayStation. You know, if you had a Quest, we just jump in Quest and play that.
Mm-hmm. Which I haven't done is I haven't since it came out, like the Minecraft and VR.
Yeah. See, that's a big omission to me on the Meta. Like I don't have access to a Minecraft VR.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that that's something I would play, especially if it had crossplay.
Yeah.
Adventuring in VR in Minecraft is amazing. I wasn't wild about the building. It's too hard to see what you're doing. But yeah, there's something special about that VR. When you turn around, there's just a creeper and you're actually eye to eye with one.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary as hell.
Yeah. And then the view you get when you go, but like climb up on a tree or something, or climb on a mountain, yeah, just look
totally
over.
Different. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. That's a neat experience too. I think Minecraft VR it wasn't on either one of those lists that we just went through. And those lists were not exclusively Oculus lists. That second one was not.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's a miss on people's parts. Cause I think Minecraft VR is very good.
Yep. As someone who's Minecraft fans.
Yeah. I think even if not, like if you just have a appreciation for Minecraft, you could, the VR, oh shit, it's nice. I like
it. Yeah, one of the guys I worked with, he said the same thing. He was like with VR. I mean, not with VR, but with Minecraft. He said that he was, I mean, this is a little kiddies game. It's a little kiddie game. Then he got in there with his girlfriend and they started playing it. And he was like, you know, I'm only expecting to play an hour. We end up, you know, staying up until like 4 a.m. building and resourcing and doing all this stuff. He's like, man, there's so much to do in that game. And I was like, yeah, it's more than what you would think.
I'm not a... If I ever joke about something, if I ever say something's a kid's game, I'm usually joking, because I don't ever think that. But I will say that when Minecraft was really popping off, was really hitting hard when it first started to blow up, mm-hmm. I didn't understand it. I didn't think it was a game for me. I thought it looked bad. And I could respect it, but I did not understand the way that it kind of took the world. I mean, it did that Fortnite thing where it just swept everybody was playing Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't play it then. I came to it much later. I mean, I think you and I came to it. I started playing it, and I think you started playing it after that, right?
Yeah, because you guys talked about it
on
the show. And then I got the demo and played the demo and just then went and bought it because I liked the demo. Then we all jumped in together and we started playing together. Because, I mean, you had your world built and you showed me your world and how to do some stuff. And then I jumped in and started doing mine. Then Matt and Dan started playing. And then
Dan stopped playing.
Yeah, because he hated it.
I think what makes Minecraft so good is that there's no right or wrong way to play it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you listen to the internet. You know, you can just get in there and have fun, you know, doing, you like these big, giant builds. I like small, compact builds. A friend of the show, Marshall 205, likes going and just treating it like an action game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dan likes to rage quit it. Like, no matter what you're into, you have these options.
Right.
And it's a very universal game.
Right. And then there's people who only play the multiplayer aspect of it, where they're doing like the little...
Where it's not even
Royales.
Minecraft, really.
Yeah, it's just Battle Royales, and there's people who just want to build, so they just go to creative and just build things, and there's people who play survival to play as survival.
Yeah, we, and I don't know if we're clear about that enough. We play on survival.
Yes.
I don't know that we typically say that, but there's nothing wrong with creative mode. To me, it's... I get bored with Minecraft when I have unlimited resources. part of what I enjoy is trying to make it work with what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And deciding what makes sense and when. You know, if we have 10 of something and I need 3 of them, I have to think long and hard about whether or not I should build that right now. Like, what is the, what's the net positive of that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the using iron when we didn't have any to make sure we always had food, to me, that's worth it. Wool is one of those things that is time consuming to get on your own. You know, making something that's going to collect wool, worth it. Other things I had to wait on because I didn't think they were worth it at the time.
Then it's like, hey, if you see this out there, we need this. Or, hey, we need more iron. We need more of this. All right, I'll go get it.
And some things, like, I mean, I've had to wait. I had to wait like a couple weeks before you found cactus.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that machine was a bust anyways, but, you know, you didn't know until you build it.
Yeah.
The shoe's about to fall off here. But yeah, it's a, I like the way that everyone kind of plays different. I like the way that, you have to think through that game. You can't just get on and do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You can, but it's chaos. It doesn't work that way.
And then the way all three of us play, it all fits in together because each person likes doing different things and it fits.
I think communication has been key here. Maybe you and I letting go of some control. Because you like your stuff a certain way and I like my stuff a certain way. And Howard doesn't give two shits.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's worked out really well considering we all kind of want something different.
Right.
He wants to go play the game, doesn't really care how anything looks, but it's interesting now to see him start to care about how his area looks and wanting to change it and make it look nicer.
Mm-hmm.
And match some of the other things that we've built. And, to see us not necessarily do things how we would have on our own maps, but like similar, but we're making it work for the map where we're all playing together.
Right. And then once we get, you know, all the resources and we're ready to start like going for, like looking for the ender portal, looking for the end portal.
Yeah.
Going to defeat the dragon, then go and fight the wither and then all the other bad guys. That's where it's going to be fun too.
I've, one thing I like that I did this time, or that we did this time, that I typically live in a very small, I try to make it look nice, but I live in a small house until I have enough resources to build a giant house.
Mm-hmm.
What we did this time is we started with a room and then we've added on to the same place. So you've built a basement that's a warehouse. I've built a room on the right and left side, but it's all that from that original house.
Yeah.
And that house keeps changing too. Like what that house is made of is not what it was made of when we started, but I like that we kept that original design. I also think that we've kept the warehouse is giant, but the house itself is still pretty modest.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that too, because in too many cases in Minecraft, when you go in, somebody's saying their house is giant.
Yeah.
And to me, that's less impressive than a small compact build that still has everything you need in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have some opportunities. The top story of our house is all deck and it doesn't honestly get used at all. There's opportunity that could be closed off and made into just a two story. We could also do a room off the back. You know, there are opportunities.
Yeah. To make that front house, the top or the house bigger.
Yeah. But I don't know if it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll keep playing with that and see. I kind of wanted, we jokingly call that the community center. I would like to see that reflect that. I was talking about like a little trading post, maybe. It's all for looks, right? We're the only ones really playing it, but I have several beds set up that are unnecessary because I'm trying to make it feel like a hotel. Like I just like the idea of it's serving its purpose as like an actual like community center, like a traveler passing by could stop there and have everything it needs for like a night.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it'd be completely unnecessary because downstairs we have everything one could ever need.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of kind of like presenting that almost as a like, oh, I made it to this town. Let me stop in here.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be just for aesthetics. I don't know. But I like the different stuff we're doing.
Yeah. And as we get more players, like we just got another one that might be starting to join us. We've had some people message me saying that they would like to join. Just if you want to, just let us know. just made it just sure one of us is on at night. We'll show you where our area is at, because we don't, you're not going to spawn in our area. We're a little bit of ways away from it.
Yeah. I wish that could be changed to where you could like set the spawn point for new characters.
Yeah.
Once you kind of establish something, there almost should be something you could build and put down that would make everyone who spawns in spawn in there.
That's where the teleporter would come into effect.
Yeah, we have to figure that out. I haven't read up on that.
Yeah, that's where you have to redstone it all the way to that spot, and they click a little button, it'll teleport them to our house.
Which would be fine. Just have to wait for somebody new to come in and have to go to that spot.
Mm-hmm. Well, it'll be 000 on the whatchamacallit.
Is that where it spawns people in?
Yeah.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, so it that's the spawn point.
So we should probably do that at some point and build a little house that you spawn next to that has the teleporter there.
Yeah. We'll have a bed, maybe some welcome pack, yeah, some
little
food.
Yeah, a little something, set of tools, a little food. Yeah, that game is still, after all these years, still holds a special place in my heart.
Yep. But then and we all didn't play it every single night.
Mm-mm. No.
Because you guys played Rocket League a bunch.
I think that's important for me, and I know it's important for Marshall 205. He can't play Minecraft every night. Mm-hmm. He'll lose interest. I think the idea of him being out of it for a couple nights makes him want to be in it. I think if he had a task also, he would be more involved.
Right.
He feels like you've got like 33 things going on, and then I'm very particular about the way that I play.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always have things I want to do. And I feel like he never has anything he wants to do, really.
Right. Well, if he wants tests, I give him some tests. I need some crimson block.
Yeah. See, he'll go
in the Nether.
Yeah. See, he'll love to go find that.
So we can grow those red trees.
Yeah. When we played before, I mean, we would get in and just play for hours and hours doing our own mm-hmm. thing in the same world. I think that for you and I, it's pretty easy because we just get lost in doing whatever we're doing.
Right.
And I just think for him, it's just not how his brain is wired. He's like, let's go do something. I'm like, well, I'm building this and he's building that.
I also wouldn't mind going doing a raid.
Like, yeah.
All of us get armor, go out there and just do a raid so you guys get to see how that rhino is, which apparently that rhino is also the same kind of rhino look in the Nether. If you see the pig people.
Yeah. I think we're good enough now. We could go raid a pillager camp. We'll die. But I mean, so if we do the one over by the village,
I think he did that one.
Did he?
Yeah. Cause when I ran over there, like to the village, I went over to the peak to see if the iron golem was still there. I didn't see the golem at all, but it looked like I didn't see any pillagers. So he might've went over there and killed them all.
So he went over there, but it was on passive mode.
Oh, okay.
When he went. But yeah, that one might be fun. I accidentally started a raid on a town where the pillagers come in because I was cursed and didn't realize it. And because it had happened like two times before when I'd played, and I never even thought about it again.
And so that curse that I get, that I got where I saved the village, the hero one, that gives you a trading point. So everything's cheaper when you trade to village.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. And then they drop all the iron weapons.
Yeah. I like that too.
Yeah, because we got an iron shovel and an iron pickaxe out of it and an iron helmet. And there's probably been some more stuff, but because we died so many times, if someone picked something up, they lost it.
Yeah. I'm checking now. I want to get the actual, like, trader. It's always trading, like, a fish in a bucket.
Yeah.
What's that for?
Oh, the fish in a bucket, so you can build, like, a little koi pond. You can build a pond.
Yeah, see, that's what I was thinking. I kind of want that. I'm trying to see.
I know one of those villagers in one of those camps have that. To where you can do it.
Top 5 uses for puffer fish in Minecraft. You can feed it to wolves. It won't be doing that. You can scoop a puffer fish into a bucket. They spawn in groups to 1 to 4 in warm to lukewarm or deep lukewarm ocean biomes. Swim up to a puffer fish and scoop it up in a bucket. See, I didn't realize you could go get it on your own.
Yeah, we just have to find out where they're at.
Cats will eat it.
Which we need to get cats, our area, because cats will keep creepers away.
The most common use of pufferfish in Minecraft, when combined with an awkward potion inside a brewing stand, will create a potion of water breathing. This will allow players looking to raid an ocean monument or build an underwater Minecraft base. So it lets you breathe underwater for some amount of time, I assume.
Yeah, I think we got one potion of that.
Yeah.
I think it's like a 3-minute potion or a 60-second potion, something. Like, we need a cat. We need to get some dogs because dogs will keep zombies away.
I went to go
get a cat, right?
Or I went to go get a wolf and couldn't find one.
Right.
That's when I accidentally triggered that thing.
But if you're interested in playing with this, let us know.
Yep. I think that's all I have. I mean, I played some Rocket League. We're back into that a lot. I played some Fall Guys, just all the same stuff. Moss Book 2 on Quest.
Mm-hmm.
And then still lots of Minecraft. So.
So Garrett did tweet and he wanted to ask a good question.
Okay.
He said possibly a topic for the pod. What game from PS3 360 era do you want a Dead Space type remake for? Is there a game you want to remake? Would you like a remake for?
You know, for me, it's tough. My memory is so bad. And as much as I enjoy an experience, I often don't even remember it after the fact. You know, my heart automatically wants to. Well, here, I'll do this. So, yes, Mod Nation Racers is my answer for that. I would love for them to come out with a new Mod Nation Racers, a reimagining of it. So, a multiplayer, I guess, build, play, share, create, play, share, whatever you want to call it, situation. Mm-hmm. For PS5, that would be amazing. My heart wants to say Little Big Planet, but I don't know that, you know, remaking Little Big Planet 1 doesn't make any sense because 2 and 3 pushed that game so much further. But right. 1 is what is most special to me, but it wouldn't hit hard now. It would be just an okay version of one of those games at the time it was groundbreaking. So yeah, I would go with Mod Nation Racers, but that's a tough one for me because there's probably a million good answers and my memory sucks.
Right. Top of my head, it'd be Chronicles of Riddick.
Yeah. You love that game too much.
Yeah. I would love to see that in a newer, playing on a newer system. And then the second choice would be, I'm really big Robotech fan from the anime. And if they have like 2 games, I would love to play them in a newer version too.
Would you, What's the likelihood you see either one of those?
Robotech for sure, no. Unless they do a movie.
I think Chronicles of Riddick for sure, no.
Unless they do a movie.
Licensing nightmare.
Yeah.
Mod Nation Racers, 0% chance.
Mm-hmm.
Sony owns the IP. United Front Games doesn't exist anymore. I mean, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't think any of those 3 games we just named. Did Garrett give us an example? Did he have one?
Dead Space.
Well, Dead Space is getting it, though. I didn't know if he had another example.
Yeah, because I guess they announced it, and I guess he was...
Yeah, Dead Space loves that game. Looks excellent. The Callisto Protocol, though, has got a lot of people torn because that hits the same... That hits the same spot, so we'll see what happens, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things you talk about. You wait so long to re-release something, somebody will just come and out Dead Space your Dead Space.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that.
Conker's Bad Fur Day would be another one I would like to see.
Yeah, I don't think that game holds up at all.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I would love all the shovelware on PS5 to stop. And I would love for them to bring some of those obscure titles forward.
Yeah.
Like your Tokyo Jungles and your Africa was a fun one. I've talked about it before, but Aquanaut's Holiday was something that wasn't released here, but it's an incredible ocean exploration game that would be, to see it on PS5 or even in VR would probably be mind blowing, especially VR. But
now, would you want remastered how like Call of Duty did, they just upgraded the graphics, or would you want to do it to a Final Fantasy VII did it, where they just basically just remake a whole new game?
I think the games that I just talked about need to be remade. You could bring Mod Nation Racers forward exactly as it is, and it would work perfect.
Mm-hmm. Especially with the modding community now.
Right, but for that game to be what it needs to be, then they need to remake it. And those other games, graphically, you could just make them look better, but I think for them to hit, especially Aquanaut's Holiday, it needs a different story. But an ocean exploration game, Endless Ocean for the Wii, another example of a game I would love to see come forward with better technology. I want a really good ocean exploration game that is in VR that is, I don't know. The ones that are there don't seem to do it for me.
Like Subnautica.
Yeah, Subnautica's scary, though.
Yeah.
Subnautica VR, scary. That would be scary. I think that's a game that if that ever came out on VR that you and I would play a lot of, because Subnautica's got that building aspect.
Mm-hmm.
I would just like to stay and build while somebody goes get scared.
Right, that one, the control aspect, I was not a fan of, though. It controlled like crap.
Yeah, from the guy that played Stranded Deep.
Yep.
Which just was shit.
Yep, which I still kind of want to get back in there and finish that up.
What about Stranded Deep in VR? Would that be could that make sense?
It could. Oh, yeah, it could.
Yeah, I think anything in first person could be there. I think Stranded Deep would... Again, island size and the vastness of the ocean, more scary in VR.
Mm-hmm. And see, I would love to play with somebody in Stranded Deep because you can have two people now. Yeah.
I would love for that game to be better.
Yeah.
That's what I'll say. Wouldn't even let me pick up a stick. There was no rocks.
You just glitched out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's all I got. You got anything else? Thanks, Garrett, for the question. And if you're listening and you hated the answers we gave, then give us your...
Mm-hmm. Let us know. Well, if you'd like
to see, what's it? He's got Jade Empire and Advent Rising.
Yeah, I was going to say Advent Rising was one.
Yeah, those are the two that Dan would like to. I just know. He's not even here. I just know those are his answers.
Because Mass Effect's already been remade.
Yeah.
All right. If Dan, if there's anything else different, then let us know.
That's not. I nailed his list. It is those two games.
Life of Black Tiger.
Whew, I'd like to be that remade into a game that doesn't suck.
All right. If you'd like to support us, head over to patreon.com/GameStitch. Follow us on the socials @game_stitch. Follow me at Hoffenshow or Hoffenshow, HOFNSHO. I'm going to always do that. Well, this was episode 510. We'll be back next week. Same time, same place. Goodbye, everybody.
Good night.